Right, Brexit next. 030 30 80 55 55, by the way, if you're picking up the phone to us. Yesterday, Northern Ireland business leaders and representatives of several major employers met the Prime Minister in Downing Street. After the talks, Theresa May thanked them for supporting her Brexit deal. In a statement afterwards, the Prime Minister said their voices were incredibly important. The Retail Northern Ireland Chief Executive, Glyn Roberts, was there. Good morning, Glyn.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning. How are you?
What was it like then? What happened?
Well, listen, I think it was a very useful event. I think this was the business community from Northern Ireland speaking with one voice at that meeting. And I think if you look at this, if you put it in a wider context, it's not just the business community that's supporting this deal. You've now got the trade unions, you've got the voluntary sector. And this is a rare coming together of Northern Ireland civic society supporting this deal. But I think we have a lot more work to do, because I think the numbers for the Prime Minister are looking a bit shaky in terms of the potential vote in the House of Commons. So we've got to do a lot more work, engage with MPs, particularly with the Labour Party.
Was this simply a photo op?
No, it wasn't. I mean, I think that it was a, you know, it's not very often that the business community in Northern Ireland is invited to the Downing Street. I mean, I'm doing this job now nearly 11 years. I can't recall a previous opportunity where the business community had been invited to Downing Street. So I think it was an important event. And, you know, we were there speaking with one voice about how we see the way forward.
Let me bring on Samuel Chestnut this morning. Morning to you, Samuel.
How are you doing, Steve?
Good morning. So you're a business that is against this deal. Tell us why.
Well, when you say against the deal, there still is an air of confusion, because with the questions not being able to be answered, we're left with the issue, who do we trust? Do we trust Theresa May, or do we trust the people that we put in power to represent us in Westminster? For us, that's the DUP. They're the only voice that are politically there in the UK speaking for Northern Ireland, and in that area of not knowing, I have to trust the DUP in this, because they're the ones that have got our best interests at heart.
And so, explain to me what your business does and what you think the impact of Brexit's going to be.
Well, we're an inbound travel operator, so people internationally from America, Canada, across the world come to Ireland, particularly Northern Ireland. We basically show them around. Now, for us, obviously, the tax for us, where we operate under what's called the TOM, the Tour Operator Margin Scheme, and is what we structure our business around with our profit and stuff. So what is the European alternative?
Glyn?
Well, listen, I absolutely respect that view. And, I mean, no one's in every single business in Northern Ireland is supporting this deal. I mean, you've got to remember that this deal is probably the best of a bad job. We have a situation where we could be facing a no deal, and if Northern Ireland crashes out of the EU, or the UK crashes out of the EU, that's going to be disastrous for our economy. And that's simply what is at stake. If this deal does not go through, we're facing a scenario of a no deal, and the impact that it would have on every single sector of the economy here is just too scary to contemplate. What I would say is that at that meeting yesterday, you had every single sector of the economy there, from retail, from construction, from manufacturing, all there speaking with one voice. And that doesn't happen that often. So what we're urging is MPs to listen to that view and to take it on board when they're considering this deal.
I would like to confirm that our business is pro the May deal, says Kate this morning. I think the damage was done by those who proposed the no vote to begin with. The DUP have a lot to answer for. I export to the Republic of Ireland, says Kate. Here's Rory McNaughton. He says, Stephen, I employ over 100 people. I'm in agreement with Theresa May's deal on Brexit. We've got a fantastic opportunity, a unique opportunity to be the gateway to the UK and the EU. This will undoubtedly bring inward investment from companies wanting easy access to both the EU markets and the UK. Pharmacy Supplies Limited write to us. I run they say they employ 60 people in Draperstown. They turn over £15 million for the deal. There's O'Kane's Limited, employ 25 people in Draperstown, turn over £2.5 million for the deal. Benji writes this and says, Steve and I run a lobster and crab fishing business on the north coast. I employ 3 people. All our product is exported to the EU. The WTO tariff for shellfish is 26%. This is what will be added to the cost of our shellfish entering the EU market, making us uncompetitive with fishermen in other countries in the EU. Brexit's a terrible mistake, says Benji. The May deal is the only viable option. It is damage limitation. Let's speak, Glenn, thank you to you. Samuel, thank you to you. Let's speak to Alex Kane and Nelson McCausland, 2 commentators. Morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Nelson.
Morning, Nelson.
Good morning.
What do you make then, Nelson, of this group of business leaders going over to Downing Street? Is it significant?
Well, I think it is significant, but it needs to be seen in context. Clearly, Glenn Roberts was overstating the case, if I can say that. He spoke about the business community. It's quite clear that there are different views within the business community. He said every single sector was there and they spoke with one voice. Well, obviously those who went as part of that delegation were picked because they had that one voice. That's why they were there. If they were people who had a contrary view, they were not going to be there. It was a pro-Theresa May deal delegation. But the fact is that the business sector in Northern Ireland, the public in Northern Ireland, the voluntary sector in Northern Ireland, and members of trade unions, as opposed to the trade unions, people have a range of views. And what we're seeing, I think the Financial Times today had it put very well when they said that Theresa May was basically mobilising corporate Britain because she realises there's a very strong opposition in Parliament, and in order to batter that down and to bring the MPs round to her way of thinking, she's trying to mobilise all of these different sectors to put the pressure on the MPs. We've seen it before. Seen it a lot of times.
Alex?
I have some, actually, sympathy with Nelson this one. I think there are 2 things that are worth bearing in mind here. A lot of the businesses, I think, have genuine concerns. I can understand the DUP, as would I think that a lot of this agreement that they will see in constitutional terms. They do fear that backed up on unfulfilled negotiations and so on may lead to Northern Ireland being treated
But do you, Alex, to stick with the story of the business community, do you think the DUP saw this coming, that so many businesses would have stood up and said, actually, in the round, we support this deal?
No, they probably didn't, because it's not the sort of thing the business generally does so publicly. Yes, Nelson is right. They do go off at the sort of sometimes mockers, the great and good, the churches, business, civic society. They have meetings. A little bit of pressure put on them by the secretaries of state. Say something positive. Let's keep this going. But the other thing there is worth remembering in all of this, Stephen, at this particular minute, because we have no assembly or executive or ministers or departments, there is actually no one. There's physically no one in Northern Ireland for these businesses to actually lobby. There's no one they can talk to. And the only people, apart from Lady Herman, they have in Westminster, are the DUP, who, as is right, and they have a mandate for it, are committed to leaving the European Union. So these businesses needed to talk to someone. But Nelson is also right. There's quite clearly an element where Theresa May is hoping that this, 40, 50 people yesterday representing, they would claim tens of thousands of workers and so on. She is hoping, Glenn Roberts hinted at it himself, we have work to do. We have to talk to Labour. We have to talk to other people. So there is this sense that while they are maybe don't think of themselves being used, and certainly it is in the interests of the Prime Minister that these people put pressure and win over some people who might, if the vote had been yesterday, might not have been inclined to back her. But if they talk to all these people, say, well, we represent all these tens of thousands of people in Northern Ireland who are going to be hard done by, who are going to be displaced, who are going to be left with uncertainty. Yeah, there's a possibility that some of those might rethink their position. She needs numbers from everywhere, Stephen. She has no room for weakness. Wherever she can get a vote, she will find that vote. And if these business people, and I'm not saying they do it deliberately, but if some of these business people can be encouraged to go and brief other people in Westminster, the Prime Minister will be delighted.
I think Nelson, what we can agree is there's a difference of opinion within the business community, right? For those people, for those businesses, and we've heard, you know, some people within the Ulster Farmers Union, some people within the CBI, the Federation of Small Business, and so it goes on. for those people who do support this deal and they're at least looking for certainty, do you agree, Nelson, that they need a message, they need reassurance, because they're deciding whether to invest in Northern Ireland, and from that comes jobs, comes prosperity, comes a prosperous economy?
I would appreciate the fact that there are people in the business community, first of all, who were obviously opposed to Brexit in the first place. And their trend of thought ever since will have been influenced and shaped by that. There are others who may have been ambivalent about the issue, but have genuine concerns. That's understandable, because there's been such a barrage of opposition to Brexit, and just as we had Project Fear before the people's vote in 2016, now we're having another Project Fear before the parliamentary vote. And I think the whole thing has been largely shaped by the CPI at a UK level. They were the people who were straight out of the traps right at the beginning, endorsing Theresa May. That was really blown apart, however, when they mistakenly released some internal emails. And in one of those, the CBI's own head of EU negotiations, the person who has been right at the forefront of their thinking on this, had an internal email in which she said, it's not a good deal. Nicole Sykes was saying, no need to give credit to the negotiators. I think it's not a good deal. And she got the answer back from the CBI's head of news, have left the credit in because we want this. And the word want is in inverted commas for some reason or other. We want this to go through. So it has been. We saw it before the Belfast Agreement, how business, the voluntary, so everybody was brought out to back the Belfast Agreement, even at pop stars on the stage of the Waterfront Hall. We saw it again before the people's vote, the referendum. So this is a regular practice. We shouldn't be surprised by it. I don't think the DUP will have been surprised. It's what you would expect.
But do you think
Westminster and particularly Theresa May to do?
You know, Nelson, through all of your years in it, how the DUP operates and the mindset. Do you think it was helpful, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, on The View, claiming that some of these businesses hadn't even read the document? Then Sammy Wilson describing those businesses as being puppets of the NIO, dancing to the government's tune. Do you think that's helpful, rather than a political party saying, well, look, they might have a difference of opinion and we respect their opinion? Does it always have to come with that type of aggression?
Well, I think that the debate around our leaving of the EU has been extremely contentious and fractious on both sides. It's not a case of A or B being to blame. This is something that's right across the board. I've heard comments, seen them on social media from people who are very passionate Remainers, and they've been very virulent, very hard in the things that they've said about people who are Brexiteers. Yeah. So that's the... Now, I would very much doubt, I would be amazed, and I'm sure you would as well, that everybody who is a businessman or a businesswoman in Northern Ireland has read all 585 pages.
Yeah.
Even if they had, I very much doubt indeed we would have all this.
But that's not how it was. But that's not that wasn't the purpose of Sir Geoffrey Donaldson saying that.
I didn't see the programme, so I couldn't really comment.
But Alex, do you get my point that I don't know, but would it have been more clever for the DUP to at least try to woo those business owners back with them rather than attacking them? They haven't read it, they don't understand it, they're puppets, they're dancing to the government's tune. Or is that effective, Alex?
No, I think that was unnecessary. But Nelson's right in the sense as well, Stephen. This has been a divisive debate across the United Kingdom. It's been much more aggressive in tone than some of the debates we're used to. But your question about whether the DUP should have done more to woo, not so much wooing, it's trying to explain. Because while I have talked to some of the people who are involved in the business community on this, and some of them have admitted to me they haven't read the whole document. A lot of them have printed off, I think it's pages 302 to whatever it is, which is what basically deals with Northern Ireland. They're not, in one sense, they're not really hung up with backstop stuff. They're just concerned about, and in fact, one of them put it to me, Alex, it's not a perfect deal. I can understand that. And I said, I'm a unionist. He's pro-union. He says, I can understand why the DUP have problems in other unions.
said, my biggest problem is I do not want to go in whatever is 4 or 5 months' time with complete uncertainty. The nature of the business I do, we need certainty because we have to go to banks, we have to go to other institutions, we have to make... We don't just work on a day-to-day basis, we work months, years ahead, how we're planning, where stuff is going. So we need that certainty. And he also told me that he hadn't had a proper briefing from the DUP, that he and I've heard this from other business people as well, they have asked for specific meetings and all of this. They haven't been given them. And as I said right at the beginning of this, Stephen, the problem for some of these business people who have never raised their voices publicly about most of this before, this is not just, I mean, Nelson's got a point that there are people who are always the same old. These are a lot of people who have never raised their voice before, Stephen. And that's because they don't know who to lobby, they don't know who to talk to. They're probably surprised to be invited over by the Prime Minister, but they're not stupid. Okay. They know that she has an agenda there as well.
Okay.
But at the minute, Stephen, they do not know what's going to happen in 4 months' time.
Alex, thank you very much. Nelson, nice to talk to you this morning. Thank you.